So we started a new series. We started a new series last week, Made for Mission. And today we're going to continue that that series. Today our sermon is, or our message this morning is, what is my mission? We know that we're called to mission. What does that look like for us? I just want to start by sharing a little bit. I know some of you have heard my story plenty of times. Some of you are new. Some of you are visiting for the first time. You haven't heard much of my story. I'm just going to give you a real quick version of it. I made it in my youth, which was not that long ago. I can see you guys mouthing stuff like you're so old. Like, I have the mic. This isn't the game we want to play today. And so not too long ago in my youth, I was making some super poor choices in my life. Choices that led me into addiction, choices that led me to the end of my rope. And when that time came to an end, I remember the day clearly. My brother and I, we had been evicted from our apartment at that point. The repo man had come through. He had taken my car. Anything that we had worth, anything that was worth any kind of money had been pawned. We were a mess. And we had walked down to the end of the street from our apartment, and there was a payphone there. And for those that don't know what payphones are, looking at you, eh? I figure you're young enough. I don't know. There was a payphone there, and we went to make a phone call, a very important phone call that day. You see, my folks kind of knew that we were in trouble, but they didn't know the whole story. They didn't know everything that we'd been up to and all the things that had kind of led us to where we were at. And so what we were doing was we were going to that phone booth that day to make this call. Because sometimes my mom, what she would do is she would send my sister to the apartment with groceries. Because my mom had a clue of what was happening, but not totally, right? And so we were just going down to let her know, make this call, let her know, hey, don't send Debbie down to the apartment because we're not going to be there anymore. We're actually on our way down to the shelter, because this is where we're going to live, because we have nowhere else. It's either that or the streets. And so this was the phone call we were going to make. And I remember it clearly because we were so, like, in so much trouble that we didn't even have a quarter to make the phone call. Like, that's what phone calls used to cost, like a quarter. And I didn't even have 25 cents. And so what you could do back then, and some of you will know this, is you could actually go to a payphone and call collect. And you would say to the operator, this call's from Claudio. And then the person on the other line would be like, they could accept the call or not. And so that's what we were doing. And so we're down there, and I'm making this call. I'm waiting to talk to my mom, and my stepdad answers the phone. My stepdad is a pastor, was a pastor. I'm a PK, a pastor's kid. I wasn't expecting him to answer that morning, or that afternoon, really. He answers the phone, and something broke inside of me in that moment. And my whole story just spilled out. And I said, Dad, this is where we're at. This is where our lives have brought us, and this is what's happening. And my dad's response in that moment was, stay there, I'll be there in 40 minutes. Stay there, I'm coming. And so basically what my dad was saying was, like, I got you. I got you. I'm here. And so he shows up at this apartment. It's a disaster. There's mattresses on the floor. That's about it. Some dishes. And he shows up with his old paint van, and he shoves some of our stuff in there. And then he holds the door open. And basically what my dad does in that moment is he says, hey, you want something different? Then follow me. Is what my dad said. You want something different in your life? Then follow me. That's what he was saying to us. And so we had to make a choice in that moment. Because I knew that I had 40 minutes before he got to the apartment where I could have changed my mind, where I could have gone, I could have left, I could have not been there when he showed up. And I also understood that if I got into that van and accepted his offer to follow him, that there were things that I was going to have to give up in my life. I knew this. I knew that following my dad was going to have a cost. All the things I knew, all the things I loved, even though they were wrecking my life, that were taking me off course, that were taking me away from any kind of mission that God would have had for me, I loved these things. And I knew that I was going to have to step away from all of these things and give up the life that I had to follow my dad into something better. And now I think about our mission, because we're all on mission. We're all called to mission. And I think of Jesus. Like, I think of Jesus when he started calling followers back in the day, and he went to those fishermen and he said, hey, follow me. And I think to myself, what if Jesus was here today? Like, what if Jesus was in Greater Victoria area today? Can you picture that, if Jesus was walking around today looking for followers? I think one of the things that Jesus might do is he might walk onto one of the countless job sites that we see nowadays in the Greater Victoria area. It doesn't matter if you're on the West Shore, if you're downtown, if you're up peninsula, if you're Sandwich. Everywhere you look, you're going to see a construction site. And I think that Jesus would walk onto one of those. It might even be one of Lennon's construction sites, where he's sitting there and he's tying steel and making the big bucks and building the muscles and all the things that Lennon's doing. And I think Jesus would walk onto that job site, and he would see these guys that are building. And what he would do is he would enter into that space and let them know that he has something deeper for them. I think he would go up and he'd say, hey, come follow me. I'm going to make you builders of people. Maybe he would walk into the emergency at Vic Gen. And I don't know if you've ever been there on a Friday night. It's chaos. It's chaos. Everyone's there. It's bananas. Let's just call it what it is. And there's these nurses, and they're running around, and they're working tirelessly, and they're trying to get people in, and they're making sure that everything's going well. I know I experienced it a bunch of times there last year when I had my health issues, and those nurses were something else. And I think Jesus would walk into that space, and he would say to those nurses, hey, come follow me, and I'll make you caretakers of the soul. Maybe he would walk into Bouchard Gardens. It's beautiful there. Everyone's working. Everything's well manicured, and it's lovely. And I haven't been there since we moved here because I'm not a tourist anymore. So, and it costs a pile of money, so I don't go there very much anymore. But I think Jesus would walk into Bouchard Gardens, and he'd find these gardeners. And he'd be like, hey, come follow me, and I will make you tenders of hope. See, what Jesus does is that he moves into our spaces, and then he transforms those spaces for his kingdom and for his glory. What Jesus is saying to us when he invites us to follow him is this. He says, I'm going to teach you to do in the spiritual what you've been doing in the physical. And so I wonder, what did this mean for those first followers of Jesus? And what does this mean for us today as followers of Jesus? I think what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to teach you to draw people into life with God. The way that you draw fish into a net. And Jesus is inviting us into that mission. So in week one, we learned that we're all on mission. It's not just a select few. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the teachers. It's not just the missionaries. We're all, everyone here this morning that is seated here, that's taken a seat here this morning, you're called into mission. Everyone in other gatherings this morning across the city are called to mission. Everyone that's joining us online today, you're called to mission. We're all called to mission. And if that's the case, then the obvious question becomes, okay, so then what is my mission if I'm called into mission with God? And we want to look at that this morning. We want to unpack that a little bit. If you want to turn it in your Bibles or in your apps or however you're doing it, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9. Let's start with verse 51. Just so you know, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. That's by far my favorite. So if you're wondering why it reads the way it does, and if it reads different than yours, then you're reading the wrong one, and I'm reading the right one. 9, verse 51. Jesus let nothing distract him from departing from Jerusalem, because the time for him to be lifted up drew near, and he was full of passion to complete his mission there. See, Jesus was a man on a mission. And not just on a mission, but he was passionate about it, and he was determined about the mission that he had. When he's looking to Jerusalem and he knows what's waiting for him there, he knows what the plan looks like, he's still full of passion and he's still determined and he's still saying, I'm going to this thing. This is who Jesus is. He's going, this is what it looks like. I know what lays ahead of me. I know that I'm going there to lay down my life for the sake of the salvation of other people. I know it's going to cost me everything. And he still had intentionality and he still had courage. He knew where he was going, but he also understood that his life was bigger than just himself. The mission that Jesus had was to draw people into life with God. If we skip back a few verses, we want to take a look at something here, and it's verse 23 of chapter 9. Because Jesus is saying, hey, come follow me. This is my mission. This is what it's going to look like. This is what I have to do. I want you to follow me. But if you're going to follow me, here's what's going to happen. This is what it's going to look like to be someone that's on mission with me. This is what it looks like if you're going to be one of my followers. So verse 23, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. Jesus made it pretty clear. I want you to follow me, but you need to understand what the cost of that is. You need to understand what that looks like if you're on mission with me. Just like when my dad came to pick me up, I knew getting in that van was going to cost me everything that I held dear. I knew it. And so Jesus was clear about this. He says, this is what it's going to look like. The mission of those who would follow Jesus is actually the same as his mission. We have to lay down our lives. What's my mission? My mission starts by following Jesus. What does that look like? I have to lay down my life every day. Not for my sake, not for the sake of getting into heaven, because sometimes that message gets mixed up for us. And we think, okay, what do I need to do? My mission is to get into heaven. Man, that's not our mission. Our mission isn't get into heaven. What are all the things I need to do to get into heaven? That's not my mission. My mission is that I'm laying down my life every day for the sake of others, for the sake of drawing other people into life with God. What is my mission? To lay down my life for the sake of others. every day until Jesus returns. It's bigger than ourselves. See, Jesus, when Jesus is inviting us into mission, he's not inviting us to church on Sunday morning. He's not saying, hey, come here and sit here for an hour and a half, an hour, 2 hours, whatever that's going to look like, depending on the service. He's not saying, hey, your mission is to fill the pews. Like, that's not what he's inviting us. He's not inviting us to use our gifts and abilities to lead worship. He's not inviting us to use our gifts and our abilities to be in the sound booth to make sure that everything runs smoothly. He's not inviting us to use our gifts and abilities to prep and serve food at the end of the service. He's not inviting you to come and sit here and take notes. He's not inviting me to come and stand before you and preach. That's not the invitation. Jesus wants something deeper for us, folks. He wants to move into our spaces and into our lives and then completely transform them, not for our sake, but for the sake of the kingdom, so that we could draw others into life with God. He's inviting us to join him in this massive mission that he's already at work in. He's already doing it. He's just saying to us, come along with me in this thing. And you might be here this morning and you might be new on your faith journey. It might be your first time. You haven't made a decision that you want to follow Jesus. Maybe you're brand new to the faith journey and you're thinking, oh, that sounds like way too much for me. Like, I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that this Jesus guy is Jesus. And everything else you're asking me is too much. I got to tell you, and I'll be as point blank as Jesus was when he told people that would follow him, it's for you. Just because you're new to the faith doesn't mean that this isn't for you. Maybe this morning you're here and you've been following Jesus for a long time and you would consider yourself a Christian. And you're sitting here this morning and you're nodding your head and you're going, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's good. That's the mission. You got it, Claudio. That's the mission. That's you. Bang on. I knew that's what the mission was. Got it. In my notes. Okay, the mission is to follow Jesus. What's next? Let me tell you this. If you're anything like me, because I'll point the finger at myself first every time. If you're anything like me, it's way easier to sit and nod your head and agree than to actually live it out. So we can nod our heads all we want, and we can write our notes all we want, and we can highlight the verses all that we want. And I can stand here and preach it all I want. But if it doesn't show up in my life, then I'm off mission. A lot of the times what happens to us is that we intellectually believe that our primary mission is to join God. Like, we get it in our heads, right? We got it. We're smart enough. We got it. Intellectually, we know this is our mission. But practically, our lives aren't showing that. Practically, our lives would say that we believe something different. Let's take a look at chapter 9, verses 24 to 25. For if you choose self-sacrifice, that is, giving up your lives for my glory, you will discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. But if you gained all the wealth and power of this world and all the things it could offer you, yet you lost your soul in the process, what good is that? So Jesus invites us to follow him. That's what he's saying. Hey, follow me. But this is what it's going to look like. This is what it should look like for you to be my follower. You should be self-sacrificing. You should be giving up your life. Because what Jesus isn't saying in the scripture is, hey, come and admire me. I was a nice guy and I said some really good things generally about how we should treat each other. Like, he's not saying come and admire me like I'm some philosopher. He's not saying, hey, come respect me because I was a good leader and I have a good leadership model that everyone can use even in business. He's not saying these things. He's saying, come follow me on the mission that I'm on. See, what happens is this. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. There's a difference. In believing in Jesus and following him. And what's happened, folks, what's happened with the church, and please hear me when I say this, I am a lover and defender of the church. I am. I know how easy it is to criticize what the North American church has or hasn't done in our day and age. I know that it's easy. And I work in a para organization. I work with people that work in the organization that I work with because they've been hurt by the church. And they're like, I'm going to do God's work here because the church did this and said this and it hurt my feelings here. And then this person was bad and that person didn't treat me right and the church has failed. And I get that there's criticism and I will still always defend the church. I am a defender of the church. But here's something that we've done as the church. We have made believing in Jesus super easy without following him. We have made it easy to follow Jesus or to believe in Jesus without actually following Jesus. We can believe that he existed. And we can believe that he loves us, and we can believe that he died for us, and we can believe that he was raised from the dead, and we can believe that he sits at the right hand of the Father. But let me tell you this, believing in these things doesn't mean anything if we're not following him. We can believe all of these things about Jesus, and it'll mean nothing if we don't follow him. There's this author and pastor out of New York. His name is Rich Velodas. I like the guy. He's a good author. He's a great speaker. I want to share this quote with you from one of his books. He says this: the greatest danger to Christianity today isn't atheism. It's a version of Christianity that believes in Jesus but doesn't follow him. That's the greatest danger to the church today. A version of Christianity that believes in Jesus and then doesn't follow him. Because I think what happens to us a lot of the times is, and again, it's our culture. We think we have to be the loudest and we have to be the rightest and we have to be, like, we have to have the biggest megaphone. And then we have to speak over everyone that's on that side. And everyone on that side is holding up their megaphone and they're speaking louder than us. And then we got to crank up the volume and then we got to hold up our signs. And then they got to hold up their signs and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And we think the louder we are about all the things that we believe in Jesus are the measurement of our faithfulness. And I would say that a true measurement of our faithfulness to the mission becomes how closely we follow Jesus. So, our mission is this: follow him the way that he followed his mission into Jerusalem. He knew what lay ahead. He knew what he had to give up. He knew what he had to lay down. It was going to cost him his whole life. He knew this. And he still went with passion and determination. Our lives need to reflect this, folks. We need to follow Jesus with passion and determination. Our lives need to reflect that, not just on Sunday morning. I love Sunday morning. I love being with you people. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You laugh at my jokes, which is my love language. If you laugh at my dumb jokes, you got me for life. It's true. So I love gathering with you. I love hearing your stories. I love sharing a meal with you. I love all those things. I wouldn't trade those things. But that's not where it ends. That's not the mission. Following Jesus can't just be in our words. See, and today there's so much that competes in our lives for God's mission. Like in our lives, we're surrounded by other missions of distraction that are going to take our eyes off where we need to be passionate and where we need to be determined. Making money? Hey, I like to make money. You like to make money? Yeah, you like to make money, right, Elias? A little bit of money? Who doesn't like to make a little bit of money? I like to make money. Appearing successful in the world's eyes. Yeah, like, I don't want to be bad at my job. Like, I want to be a really good youth worker. Like, I want to make connections with kids in my schools and my teachers and my support staff. Like, I want to do well at it. Sometimes we just want to have all the things. And we're like, oh, what's the next thing that I need? Look at this, Amazon Prime Days. Like, I'm losing money if I don't order this pair of loafers with heels that I'm definitely not looking at right now. With heels, I'll be taller next week. Hey, maybe we want to stay healthy. What's wrong with that? We want to be healthy. Maybe we want our kids or our friends or our family to turn out well. Who doesn't want that? I want my kids to turn out well. Whatever that means. I think my boys are doing all right. I don't know. Oh, there's a lot of jokes, but I will stop myself right there. Mostly because they're way stronger than me now. I say uncle a lot in my house. But we have these things that take us off mission. And some of them are good things. Hey, you want to be healthy? That's a good thing. Hey, you want to do well at your job? That's a good thing. Hey, you want your family to be well? That's a good thing. Those are good things. Not everything that's a distraction is a bad thing. But remember that Jesus is calling us to deeper things. We can't lose sight of that. There's always going to be another mission that comes up in our lives that will distract us from the mission of God. Like, I think back to a story that you'll, if you want to look farther on in Luke, you'll find it. And it's when Jesus has his interaction with these three different men. And the first one, he comes up and you know, Jesus, he says, "Oh, Jesus, like, I wanna follow you. Jesus, I see what you're doing, and I wanna follow you and do the things that you're doing." And then Jesus responds by, "Okay, but it's not going to be comfortable. Like, that's what Jesus' response is. It's not going to be comfortable at all. And then we don't hear about that man again. And then the second one, he comes up and he says, yeah, you know what? I do. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, okay, follow me. And this guy's response, okay, but first. Okay, Jesus, yeah, I'll follow you, but first, this. And then that third man comes up and he goes, yeah, okay, I'm ready. I'll follow you. But I got this thing that I need to do first. I got this thing. I will. I believe in you. I believe in the things you're doing. I believe in the things you're saying. And I'm there with you. But I got this thing that I got to do first. And it's these missions of distraction that come up in our lives. Missions of comfort and missions of commitments or missions that compete and distract us from the real mission. So last week we learned, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're called by him, if you're called, Jesus has come and said to you in your space, I want to transform your life and your space and the things that you're doing, then you have to be on the same mission that I'm on. And so today we're saying, what is my mission? Well, what is my mission? What did Jesus do? He laid down his life and all the things. We have to be the same way. The same way that Jesus walked towards Jerusalem, knowing the cost. We too have to be intentional about how we're going to follow him. Jesus is not about creating a following. He's about making followers. Simply saying that you're going to follow him isn't enough. Simply holding up that sign that says, I believe, isn't enough. Simply having the notes written down isn't enough. Simply having the right scriptures memorized so that you can prove someone wrong isn't enough. It's not. Because the true measure of faithfulness is how closely your life is going to look like Jesus. And Jesus laid everything down to draw people into life with God. So what is our mission? What is my mission? I want to draw people into life with God. How am I going to do it? I'm going to take everything else and I'm going to lay it down. So this morning, I want to give us a moment to sit quietly and reflect and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to lay down today so that I can be on mission with you? I'll ask you to bow your heads. Take a breath. And then ask him, what would you have me lay down? What has been distracting me from my mission? What has taken me away from following you? And now give it to him. And say, Jesus, I lay this down. I will follow you.